Galatians 2. It is a letter that Paul writes to the church at Galatia. Now, this chapter probably would not be your first choice for a Sunday morning sermon. It may be more fitting for a Sunday night service, but as Paul writes to the church at Galatia, he has a concern about consistency, a concern about Christians who act one way around one group and a different way around another group. And he calls some names in this chapter. So we'll get to that. That is the primary focus, and, you know, for whatever reason, for us today. But we read verse number, let's start at verse 1. 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Let's bring out verse 2 and understand that there are some people who are not going to get saved in a church setting. There are some people who are not going to get saved if you're standing around the office with everybody talking about Jesus. There are some people who are only going to be comfortable enough and secure enough with themselves to get saved and to surrender their life to God in a private, personal setting. We have to understand there are people, and here Paul says people of reputation. They're not going to show the whole world that they have surrendered because they're leaders. You know, they're powerful, they're strong, and they don't need any help. But in truth, in private, they realize there's something missing. And so as much of a show as they want to put on for everybody else about how strong and how capable they are, they realize there is a piece that's missing in their life. And the truth is they need God. They need Jesus. They are hoping. Now, they'll try to find that satisfaction in maybe a boat or a car or a house or a vacation or a trip, or they're always searching for some kind of meaning, or maybe even in their career or in their bank account to feel satisfied and fulfilled. But the truth is, in all of those things, there's still something on the inside that's empty, that's missing, that's not filled. And if we can find the opportunity to get them into a corner alone where they can relax, they'll be willing to admit that in fact they need Jesus. That in fact they realize in their lives they're not perfect. That they have sinned, and that even they had hoped for a moment to have an opportunity to talk about Jesus. Now, another thing is that some of them have doubts. And if we have this conversation around the office with other people watching, it will become more of a debate, more of a confrontation. But if we can have it in private, they can ask their questions and get Bible answers for their questions to satisfy their doubts and their curiosities, and maybe reach a point where they surrender and pray and say, God, I know I am a sinner too. And I know Jesus died for me too. And I ask you to forgive my sins and save my soul. Now that person may not come publicly and be baptized. I had a phone call, and it happens from time to time where people will say to me, Pastor, I want to get baptized. And some say, I want to get baptized today. And so, you know, there's nobody there to gather. But some will say, I want to get baptized, but I don't want to do it in front of everybody. And you say, well, why not? You know, baptism is a public profession of a private confession. You know, so we say that. But here's my thing. If you've got a heart to surrender to Jesus, I'll baptize you whenever you want to. Some people, again, because it is a very personal, very private thing, for whatever reason, let's let God work on them, on those things. And let's try to accommodate where we can, you know, of course, within bounds. And so Paul said, I went to some people privately because otherwise it would have been a waste of time. If I would have tried to get them to get saved in open forum, they wouldn't have gotten saved. If I try to get them saved in the marketplace, they won't get saved. But if I go to them privately, then I have not run in vain. It was not in vain. They actually can get saved. Some are much more receptive privately. And then he goes on in verse number 3, and he talks about, again, this kind of two-sided Christianity that he's experiencing. Verse 3, neither Titus, who is with me, being Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection. No, not for an hour. That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. So what's Paul saying? He says, I want you to understand something. When we were there, we tolerated some nonsense. We listened to people say things that we wouldn't, that gave us no value, but we let them talk because we didn't want to cause a disruption. I remember when I was a young man, my pastor, he was a young man too. He was 25. But I was trying to help out every way I could, ministering and visitation and all that. And he said, Derek, you got to make sure that when you're trying to make a difference, that you don't make waves. He said, just ease into it. Because what you don't want to do is try to make necessary changes, but meet with such confrontation and such rejection that it blows up. Then what have you accomplished? So ease into it. Let's work into it. And so Paul says, we came to Jerusalem, right? And Titus is Greek. He's not Jewish. Circumcision is a Jewish oath, a covenant. It's not a Greek covenant. And so he said, Titus, he wasn't compelled to get circumcised. I don't blame him. Timothy did. Remember, he was half Jew and half Gentile. But he did get circumcised as a grown man. Why? Because he didn't want anybody to be offended. You're not circumcised. He didn't want anybody to be able to discredit him. And here's the problem. There are people who will go to church. They will get in our lives not to encourage us, not because they like us, not because they love us, but because they're looking for an opportunity to discredit us or criticize us. And there were people like that with Paul. They pretended to be friendly, but they were looking for an occasion to accuse them of breaking the law, of not being worthy to preach, not being worthy to minister. Critics seeking to discredit. Now, what would they be looking for? Well, number one, he already mentioned circumcision. Number two, which was the big thing, would be dietary laws. Because the Bible says you can't eat bacon. Right? Y'all still want to be Baptist, don't you? Don't want to be Jewish anymore, right? So, but the Bible says you can't eat pork. The Bible says that a chicken is a scavenger and you shouldn't eat it. The Bible says that a catfish is a scavenger and you shouldn't eat it. And shrimp and shark and lobster, right? I mean, there's a lot of things that the Bible and the Levitical law and the dietary law says you can't eat that stuff. You cannot eat a cheeseburger. Right? Because the cheese is an offering and the beef is a sacrifice. And you're not supposed to do that. So there are things that we shouldn't eat according to the dietary laws. And these guys were coming to church with Paul and Titus and Barnabas for one reason. They wanted to catch them eating cheese with beef. They wanted to catch them putting bacon on that cheeseburger. They wanted to catch them in doing something that was outside of the rules. And that's the only reason they were coming. But Paul says in verse number 6, of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were makes no matter to me, God accept no man's person. But they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. Paul said, I want you to know something. There were some people who were very high on themselves. They thought they were somebody. They were trying to posture themselves. But I want you to understand, Paul says, it meant nothing to me. I'm here to preach. I'm here to give Jesus. I'm here to share the gospel. And I don't care if they're, the governor or the king or the president. It doesn't matter to me. I just want them to have Jesus. They think they are somebody. Makes no difference to me. And that's how we ought to be. You know, unfortunately, we're in a very star-struck society. And, well, you know, we need to give people Jesus. We don't need to worship people. We need to show them to worship Jesus. Verse 12, before that, certain came from James. He did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. So here's what's happening. I missed the verse, but I'll catch you up. Paul says, I spoke to Peter, I confronted Peter face to face because he was being a hypocrite. Because when Peter came to us, we were eating, having big fellowship, a bunch of Gentiles. And now he doesn't specifically say they were eating bacon cheeseburgers, but I get the hint. That's probably what was happening. But Simon Peter was there mingling with everybody else. All of a sudden, some people came from Jerusalem. Some of, you know, you're talking about Peter, James, and John, these pillars of the church. And so when some people came from James to where Paul was, Paul says, you know, Peter stopped hanging out with us. He stopped eating with us. It was like we were second-class citizens, like we were sinners. And so he didn't want to be seen with us. All of a sudden, he wanted to be with his big-shot friends. Y'all know anybody like that? And so he says, Peter mingled with the Gentiles until some showed up from Jerusalem. And rather than uniting the two groups, here's the thing. You know what Peter could have done? Peter could have said, hey, guys, I want you all to meet the church that's here at Galatia. I want you to meet, you know, all these Greeks over here, all these non-Jews that have been saved and baptized and are serving the Lord. And man, what a great work they're doing. And come over here and eat a cheeseburger with us, right? Instead of uniting them, he allowed the clique, the division, to increase. You know, let's face it. In our church, we've got people from all different backgrounds. And we've got people who grew up in church. We've got people who've walked with Jesus for a long time and people who hadn't walked with Jesus long at all. And the best thing we can do is get everybody united as a church, understanding that but for the grace of God, all of us are going to hell. But by the grace of God, we'll go to heaven. He's washed our sins away, forgiven us, given us a new life, a life in Christ. And so it doesn't matter what we used to be. What matters is who we are now. And, you know, there are different levels of maturity even as we walk with Christ. But what we ought to do is we ought to all be one family. Don't hang out with me, and then when somebody else comes, you turn your back on me and go hang out with them. Because you don't want to be seen with me. That's what we're talking about. That's hypocritical. That shouldn't be in a church. Everybody ought to understand that we're all on the same level. Seems to me there's a song that talks about the ground being level at Calvary. And we all came to Jesus as sinners. And we all were our children of God because he's washed our sins away. Those who put our faith in Christ. But you know, Peter is a leader in the church. People look up to him. But he was so afraid that James might think badly of him because he is hanging out with Gentiles that he stopped hanging out with them. And because Peter quit doing it, look at what it says. Verse 13, other Jews dissembled likewise with him. And so much Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. In other words, it started a trend where all the Jews started separating, and so you had the Jews and the Gentiles. Guys, that's not how church should be. We ought to love each other. We ought to all be one family. We ought to all eat bacon cheeseburgers. I mean, not pretend like we don't. You know, it's incredible to me how some people would try to pretend that they're perfect. Let me assure you of one thing. There's not a perfect person in this room. None. Within these four walls, not one single perfect person. But by the grace of God, our sins are washed away. By the grace of God, we have a new life in Christ. We're born again in Christ. Our name's written in the book of life, and we're going to heaven. Let's not try to pretend like we earned that. We didn't. While we didn't earn our salvation, we can't maintain our salvation with our good works. It is the grace of God. It is the love of Jesus that made us saved and keeps us saved. Verse 14, Paul says, "When I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews?" Because here's the thing. Peter, when the Jews were around, Peter would preach against cheeseburgers. Again, it's just a point. It doesn't actually say cheeseburgers. But the point is, he was expecting them to do things. He was preaching because he knew that's what they wanted to hear. And so he was compelling the Gentiles to live under the Old Testament law that they weren't bound to. We're not under the Old Testament law. We don't have to live by that. Every once in a while, this comes up again. There's legalism and restriction in people's lives. Now, look, God's not changed. As far as the Ten Commandments go, honor your father, your mother, the Lord thy God is one. Don't take his name in vain. Honor the Sabbath. Don't kill. Don't steal. Don't cheat. Don't bear false witness. All those things. Look, that's the law. That's the Ten Commandments. But when it comes to our lifestyles and dietary laws, the Levitical law that was specifically for the Jews of that time, including circumcision, that was because of medical needs, not because it was a spiritual thing. And so for us to continue to preach it just because that's what people want to hear is hogwash. I think you can say that on Sunday morning. But it's hypocritical. Guys, we're not restricting people. We're not bringing people under bondage in their salvation. We're setting them free through Jesus Christ. My sins are washed away. I'll stand before God. It won't be my record he's looking at, but it'll be through Jesus. Yes, I'll be judged as a steward with the opportunity God gave me, with the life I've got beyond my salvation. What have I done with it? Yes, I'll stand in judgment for that, as will you. But he's not going to ask me about dietary laws, dietary sins. But that's the kind of stuff that some preachers like to preach. You go to a pastor's conference, you know what pastors will preach about? Whatever other pastors will say amen to. They preach what people want to hear. That's not what preaching's for. Preaching is to change us. Preaching is to build us. Preaching is to develop us in our walk with God and our understanding of God. So what's the message today? Be who you are. Don't be one person at church and another person at work and another person at home and another person at play. Be who you are. Now, I don't want you to cuss here. I'll say this. Don't cuss here. Don't cuss there. You say, well, Pastor, you said be who I am at work, and I cuss like a sailor at work. No, that's not what. Turn it around. Go the other way. But the point is, be who you are. Don't pretend to be somebody you're not. That's what Peter was doing. Peter was fine hanging around with Gentiles as long as the Jews weren't around. But when the Jews showed up, all of a sudden he had to be more Jewish. If you've got friends in your life that don't know Jesus, the worst thing we could do is change who we are when Christians are around. We need to be Christians when everybody's around. Paul confronted Peter for being inconsistent, retreating to a restricted life of Jewish law when he had been exercising liberty prior to their arrival. We need to be genuine in our faith. Look what it says in verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even when we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You can't prove to me that you're good enough for heaven. You can't prove to me that you're good enough for salvation. You can't, because you're not. Nor am I. Verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Let me ask you something. When you prayed and said, God, I'm a sinner, and I ask your forgiveness, I ask you to save my soul and I give my life to you, how much did you give? Did you give yourself to God? When you enter into the waters of baptism, you're buried with him in baptism, risen to walk in newness of life. Did you leave that old corpse in the water? That old you in the water? Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. When I got saved, my old sinful person went to the cross with Christ. And now I'm saved. Buried with him in baptism, risen to walk in newness of life. Did you come out of that water different? Are you new? Look at what he says in verse 21, and we're finished. I do not frustrate the grace of God. If righteousness come by the law, Christ is dead in vain. He didn't mince words, did he? You see, the worst thing we could do as Christians is try to get people to be what we don't even expect ourselves to be. And that's what Peter was doing. Guys, I want you to understand something. God's way is the best way. In fact, if you never eat pork in your life, you'll be better off physically, medically, health-wise. I mean, it'll be a miserable life without bacon, but you'll survive. Right? Medically, you'd be better off. So what am I saying? I'm saying that God never made a mistake, even with the dietary laws. They're good for you if you follow them. But I'm not going to stand here and tell you don't eat bacon, because I'm going to eat some. Number one, I don't think it's against God. And number two, I'm in the grace period. I'm in the New Testament. I don't live under the Old Testament laws. And I'm not going to bind you with it. Not only did Paul say that in the book of Galatians, but Jesus said that. Jesus said, y'all are hypocrites because not only do you preach what you don't live, but you get other people and they turn out worse than you are. We teach people how to manipulate the system. I don't want to manipulate the system. I don't go to God and say, God, I'm so perfect. I'm glad I'm perfect, and aren't you lucky to have me? No. I say, God, I'm a sinner. I was a sinner the day you saved me, and Lord, I'm still not perfect. I still struggle sometimes. But I need Jesus now just like I needed Jesus then. And so am I going to stand in judgment of you because you fall? No. I'm going to encourage you to get back up again, though, and not wallow in sin. Let's do better. But let's never allow ourselves to be so pious and so stuck on ourselves, so self-righteous, that we're going to exclude people from our fellowship when more righteous people are around. Let's not have niches and cliche, what do they call cliques? Niches and cliques and division in the church. Let's stand. Father, we love you so much. And while we look at this, we see that Paul had confrontation with Peter. We see that Peter was, you know, not doing the right thing. And we reveal to ourselves, we admit in ourselves that we're, as we look at these men as great heroes of faith and of the church, we find ourselves guilty also of sometimes not doing what we should, of sometimes expecting more of others than we expect of ourselves. Lord, help us to be an inclusive people, to love one another, to preach truth, to live righteously, to strive in holiness, but also not to stand in judgment of others. Guide us in this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar's open if you want to come and kneel and pray. Maybe there's something on your heart. You say, Pastor, I want to get saved. I'm ready to give my life to Jesus. You can do that where you are, from your heart to God's heart. Pray and say, God, I know I'm a sinner. And I know Jesus died for me. And I ask you to forgive my sins and save my soul. God, I give my life to you. Maybe you're already saved, but you're ready to bury that old creature in the waters of baptism and be risen to walk in newness of life. This is your opportunity to make that decision. Or maybe there's something else on your heart. Maybe you need prayer. I'm happy to pray with you. This is your opportunity. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Don't forget, 6 o'clock tonight, Wednesday night at 7. Brother Ronnie, would you dismiss us?